Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to another week of UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to catch you up with some news you might have missed over the weekend. Today, learn how creativity helps caregivers and care recipients alike. And our community connection this week takes us to the Monroe County Dementia Coalition. It's Monday, October 6th. Let's get you up to date. First, did you notice any changing leaves this weekend? The heat still felt a bit like summer, but the fall foliage is starting to arrive here in Pennsylvania. Heavy tourism spots are preparing for the fall season, and they're ready for the influx of people they welcome each year. WVIA's Samara Carey has more.
Pennsylvania is known for its vibrant colors that come with the fall foliage. This year, those vibrant colors have appeared earlier than usual. Julian Mazza, a service forester for the Bureau of Forestry for the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, explains why this could be happening.
This year so far, we're kind of nearing a drought period, so the leaves are starting to change color earlier. And then once they do change, the leaves don't really last that long. So the window of peak color is going to be really shortened this year because of that drought period.
With everyone wanting to capture a glimpse of what the fall foliage has to offer, different tourist areas in the state prepare for the traffic they receive. The Pocono Mountains have received so much attention during the fall foliage that the Visitors Bureau implemented a 24-hour hotline that states the current fall foliage updates to the public. James Hamill, senior correspondent who handles media relations for the Pocono Mountains Visitors Bureau, said an influx of people visit the region during the fall season.
From a visitation standpoint, we definitely see a very large response from the visiting public in the fall months.
As for the local community in the Poconos, Hamill says the visitors are noticed and welcomed.
It is a source of pride to share in what we have here from a visual landscape, from community landscape. Being able to welcome people to the region is something that we've been doing since before I was born here in the Poconos. It's been a forever destination.
In Pittston, I'm Samara Carey, WVIA News.
Thanks, Samara. Find more of this story, including photos of fall foliage throughout the region, at WVIA.org. Now let's focus on Scranton for a moment. Arts for Life provides free art and writing classes from professional artists for caregivers and care recipients. The program uses creativity to promote acceptance of diagnoses and strengthen relationships between loved ones. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports from the United Neighborhood Center's Oppenheim Healthy Aging Campus in West Scranton.
Ruth Perry started as a participant in 2020. She was her 94-year-old mother's caregiver. Since her mother died, she was diagnosed with dementia and is now a care recipient. But Arts for Life gave her a newfound love of writing.
I can write about it now. I just know that I'm able to share my really good days and my really bad days. And there have been plenty of bad days.
The classes are on Fridays. Participant Jody Miller calls it Fun Fridays. Miller learned the importance of taking care of herself as a caregiver.
We as caretakers, I feel like we have a responsibility to share with other people who are in our same shoes that it's okay to take time for ourselves. And we don't have to feel guilty about it. And we can still have enjoyment in really hard end-of-life situations.
Dr. Catherine Richmond Cullen started Arts for Life. Her research found that art helps improve relationships between caregivers and recipients.
People are trepidatious in the beginning, but they can't help it. The arts move us to another place.
She loves watching art transform participants. In Scranton, I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA News.
Thanks, Lydia. For more on this topic, you can catch Keystone Edition, Caregiving, Navigating the Challenges, tonight at 7 on WVIA TV. More up to date after this break.
I'm Isabella Weiss, WVIA's Rural Government Reporter and Report for America Corps member. Thanks for making WVIA News your go-to source for great information and the best storytelling around. We appreciate your support.
Welcome back. Now it's time for the latest community connection with WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella. Today, she introduces us to the Monroe County Dementia Coalition.
A Dementia Care and Caregivers Forum is this month in Monroe County. Samantha Holbert of the Community Foundation of Monroe County explains.
Barbara Van Nortwick, who is a professional in the field, contacted me and said, I want to start a nonprofit called the Monroe County Dementia Coalition. It allowed her to start doing the work that she wanted to do almost immediately.
Barbara, tell us about the need for something like this.
I taught classes on skills of how to work with people that have dementia using the positive approach to care, which is the Tipa Snow method. Tipa Snow is an occupational therapist, and she trains individuals on how to work with people that have dementia to make it a win-win for both parties. So I thought, I'll get on the Monroe County Area Agency on Aging. And then I met Connie DeLego at one of the meetings. We would listen to what was going on and kind of look at each other and kind
roll
of
our eyes.
roll our eyes and frown and go, you know, like, what? And Connie started telling me about her background.
I retired from Plymouth, Massachusetts, ran a very large senior center, and I did have a lot of interaction with people that had dementia. We got into a conversation. She mentioned Tipa Snow, because I also had been through some of her conferences, and that's how we met Sam. That's how the whole thing began.
Could you help us understand what dementia is, what it does, and how we might be able to help someone with dementia?
A person can develop dementia years before it really shows its ugly head. Easy things to do will become harder. Paying double and then realizing at the end of the month you don't have that money. It gets to the point as to, why am I in this room? And you don't know why you're in this room. That could be the beginning of cognitive decline.
Many seniors are by themselves. What could we do to try to be of help to them when we start to see signs that maybe their children should intervene?
Be aware of your neighbor's pattern. And if you see where their routine is not what it should be, then maybe that might be something.
It might be a good idea also to know the next one to call. Alert them. Maybe you should come by and check her.
You have worked, Connie, with the elderly for a long time. Tell us about what you see, about the different types of dementia.
When I was working at the center, social workers would come up and say, I'm a little bit concerned about this person. So we would notify a family member. And getting information for their caregivers was a little bit more difficult. We didn't have the right avenues at that point in time. It's all changed now, thank God. It's much better.
Barbara, could you label some of the things we should be aware of?
There's approximately 120 plus different types of brain change. Alzheimer's disease, that's the largest. Then there's a Lewy body disease, what Robin Williams had. Then there's frontal temporal disease, what Bruce Willis has. And then there's vascular dementia.
Caregivers are looking at things that are manifesting that they've never seen before. So this is the reason why this coalition was formed.
A care partner is walking down the path side by side and trying to use the remaining abilities of the person they are caring for.
That person who is the care partner needs to have somebody watching over them too, or helping them out. Understand that the training is very, very necessary.
Connie DeLego and Barbara Nortwick, co-founders of the Monroe County Dementia Coalition, and Samantha Holbert of the Community Foundation of Monroe County. Seminar details at 570-236-3380. Hear the entire story on our podcast, wvia.org/community. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
Thanks, Lisa. One last thing for you today. Let's take a look back at this week in history with WVIA Director of Journalism, Julie Zidoni.
This week in history, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, October 6th through the 12th. It was this week in 1767 that Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon complete a survey of Pennsylvania and Maryland, agreeing on a border between the two colonies. In 1850, the United States Naval Academy opens in Annapolis, Maryland, with a first class of 50 midshipmen. 1936, for the first time, the mighty Colorado River is harnessed using the Hoover Dam. This is the week electricity first comes from the dam to help power the city of Los Angeles. In 1956, the nation's first enclosed shopping mall opens outside Minneapolis. The Southdale Mall had hoped to lure shoppers during the cold winters. And in 2001, less than a month after the September 11th terrorist attacks, a new federal department is formed, the Office of Homeland Security. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready to start the week. Find more stories at WVIA.org, and remember to sign up for the WVIA News Notes newsletter, too. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to stay in the know this week, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.